You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.
Now, Helen Hamlin, Lady Hamlin, to give her proper title, is one of Britain's best-known philanthropists. She started her working life as a fashion designer, married the late publisher Paul Hamlin, and for her 50th birthday, he gave her her own foundation, the Helen Hamlin Trust. Well, nearly 30 years on, at nearly 80, she's still funding projects which she believes will improve quality of life and effect lasting change. Helen, how do you choose the projects you fund?
Well, it's always difficult, but there's so many wonderful people out there with innovative ideas, particularly in medical, in the medical field and education and in the arts, that simply cannot get supportive funding for a research project. And so we try to support people, and that's why my little trust book is called Nurturing Innovation, where we see a really wonderful idea that hasn't been able to get official funding to give them a base from which to grow. Unfortunately, it seems to work.
What was your family background? What was your childhood?
Well, I was born in 1934, which is an awfully long time ago. And, of course, so I was a wartime child. My mother always said she was the last of the suffragettes. And I think, really, you should be interviewing her, because she really was a feminist and believed totally in women's rights, because at the beginning of the last century, it was quite hard for women to go to university or take up the careers that they really wanted to do. Very sadly, my father died when we were young during the war, but Mummy was very friendly with Maria Montessori and believed in her method of education, so we were Montessori children, and they wanted us to go to co-educational progressive school. So we were sent to St. Christopher's, along with Michael Winner and a few others, and I'm very, very grateful that she did that.
And why did you opt for fashion design?
Well, it's very simple. Mummy took us abroad just after the war, and then she sent me to France every year to learn French, which I'm terribly ashamed to say I never did really master the language, but I learned an awful lot of other things which have enhanced my life greatly. And I learned very quickly in France that if you were intelligent, you were pretty. And if you were unintelligent, or what we might call less intelligent, you were plain. In England, it was exactly the opposite. In England, if you were blue stocking, you had to be plain. And vice versa, if you were pretty, you were assumed to be not very bright. And I just thought, this is all wrong. The French have obviously got a better answer to this. So it was a time of the new look. It was a time when people were trying to come through this terrible period of the war. And I think that was my feminist instinct, that I wanted to design clothes that were intelligent women could wear and look better.
Now, your husband, Paul, gave you this extraordinary 50th birthday present. Why did he give you a foundation?
Well, I think, first of all, because he was an extraordinary man, as you probably know. He changed many things in publishing, and I was very fortunate to be married to him for 30 years until he died. I think I was a bit of a nuisance. I felt very strongly that I wanted to do some design work for older people, because it was becoming quite clear, even 30 years ago, that the population balance was changing, and that soon we'd come to a position where 50% of people would be under the age of 50, and the other 50 were going to be over the age of 50. And from a design point of view, because, although I studied fashion, I studied design as a way of looking at life. I mean, design is fundamental, it's not superficial. First you see the problem, and then you find the answer, and then you design something which hopefully meets the criteria. And so I kept talking about this, and eventually he thought, well, she wants to do it, I'll give her foundation. And so I had this amazing gift, And he said, darling, I guess I'm with it. So we did.
So you did. But you have included a design of an ambulance interior and a resuscitation trolley for use in hospitals in the work. What prompted those ideas?
Well, can I tell you a bit about the ambulance? Because my poor husband was really quite ill in the last few years of his life. Quite often we had to send for an emergency ambulance. And I have to say that most of the ones that I was in with him were really Heath Robinson. And so in the back of my mind, when I started with the Royal College of Art, what started off as Design Age and then moved through various rebirths to become a total social inclusion for all ages, and now it's a global influence, I'm very happy to say, thanks to my wonderful professors and team there, that I really wanted to look at the ambulance. And so we did a couple of years ago, and found to our horror that not only is it a bit Heath Robinson, but that some of the ambulances are just still being used, and there are 42 different types of ambulances in our country that are used in different regions. Something had to be done. And so our team, working with Professor Darcy at Imperial, because we have a very close relationship, because I also support his research centre there on robotic surgery, and all the ambulance agencies got together with the paramedics, which of course the most important part of it all, and redesigned the interior of a modern ambulance. It's won a major design prize here, the same in America. It's now actually arrived in Doha for Professor Darcy's next meeting for his Global Health Institute.
So when will it be here?
Well, it's been here. Well, that's the National Health Service. Well, we're hoping we have Boris Johnson in Doha, who's also speaking, so I'm aiming to corner him on this one. He doesn't know yet.
Lady Hamlin, thank you so much for being with us, and we all look forward to seeing your ambulance
in the NHS. Thank you.